You've heard that if something is too good to be true, it often probably is, but that doesn't appear to be the case when it comes to the, quote, almost outrageous findings of a particular kind of corn.
Researchers, including some from UW-Madison, have spent a decade studying the corn from southern Mexico. It turns out that this variety creates its own fertilizer and grows to a height of 16 feet.
With self-fertilizing corn, farmers wouldn't have to spend money on expensive fertilizer or worry about fertilizer runoff affecting water used for drinking, fishing, or swimming.
Jean-Michel Lanet is a professor of agronomy and bacteriology at UW-Madison. He's one of the researchers who's studying this variety of corn. Jean-Michel, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So how did you first find out about this corn?
So the person who found that corn is Howard Shapiro, who works for the Mars Company. And Howard was interested in ancient varieties of corn that could have unusual properties. And he was surprised to see that giant corn growing on the slopes of the mountain with very little nitrogen and growing so well. So he conducted some first initial experiments and found that that corn was able to acquire a very significant amount of its nitrogen from the air, which is normally something that we see in legumes, not in cereals like corn. And so that's where he actually brought me on the project to try to confirm that result.
And so you started working on this project in 2010.
Correct.
When it was first brought to you, did you think this was even possible?
Not at all. Not at all. To be honest, we often think that sometimes we have some leads, but very, very rarely we get some such results. So the problem is that the nitrogen fixation is actually very difficult to measure, and there are different techniques, and they all have potential pitfalls. And so initially for the first years, we were more looking for the problem in Howard's data than really believing it was true. But technique after technique, we were getting the same results. So that's why it took us 8 years to really make sure that it was true. But that was actually fairly unusual.
So this variety of corn is growing in Oaxaca in southern Mexico. Tell us about the landscape where it grows.
So it grows in fairly high altitude on the slopes of the mountains of Oaxaca by the indigenous people, and that's their corn that they grow traditionally with traditional methods, and in particular they don't use any fertilizer over there, which was the surprising thing. Another particularity of that climate, it's fairly humid and rainy. And we found that the trait depends quite a lot on rain frequency in particular. Mm-hmm. We found that ideally you need to have rain every 2 or 3 days to really maximize that process of that we call nitrogen fixation.
Hmm. So a very different landscape than, for instance, Wisconsin corn is growing in.
In fact, we run experiments that are not published yet in Wisconsin, and we found fairly high rates of fixation even in Wisconsin. Mm. As you probably noticed, we have fairly humid and rainy summers, and that actually allowed really good rates of nitrogen fixation even in Wisconsin. With collaborators, we also did experiments in California, and over there, basically, there was no fixation. It's too dry. So the trait depends on humidity and rain frequency, but I do believe that there's a potential for that trait in the Midwest.
So as we said, this corn grows to about 16 feet tall. So I'm sure that's the first thing you noticed when you saw it. But when you looked at it more closely, you noticed some characteristics on the corn plant itself that are very different and that are tied to this nitrogen fixation. Tell us what it is about this corn that looks different and behaves differently.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't think that the trait of nitrogen fixation is linked to the size of the corn. That corn is unusual also because it's covered with roots on the stem, on the stalk. And many people have noticed that in the typical corn that we grow here, we have 2 or 3 nodes with such what we call brace roots. But the corn from the Sierra Mije is literally covered with roots. It has roots up to 8 to 10 nodes. And so that's one surprising feature. And the other feature is that after rain, these roots produce a gel, and a lot of gel. So people here maybe notice that on their brace roots, they may have a little bit of gel. But the corn from Sierra Mije produces milliliters of gel, like covered with gel, which is something that we had never seen before in corn. And what we found is that the process of nitrogen fixation, which is done by bacteria, happens inside of that gel. And basically, the more gel is produced, the more fixation happens.
So is there bacteria living inside the gel? Is
Correct.
That what's happening? And so how is the nitrogen getting from the air into a form that the corn can use?
So the bacteria are basically the only ones that can do that process of converting nitrogen from the air into ammonium. The process after on how the nitrogen is transferred from the bacteria to the plant, we think that it's in particular in the form of ammonium itself, but we're also looking into other possibilities. In particular, there is a process of drying of that gel on the root, and we are wondering also if that process of production of gel followed by the gel drying on the root over the following during the following days also could help in releasing that ammonium to the plant.
We're talking with Jean-Michel Annet. He's a professor in the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. He's an expert in plant biotechnology and molecular biology, genetics, and symbiosis. And we are talking about an incredible species of corn that grows in Oaxaca, Mexico, and is self-fertilizing. Now, Jean-Michel, you talked about the fact in an article that farmers in this area actually collect the gel that is on these kind of aerial roots and keep the gel in jars. What do they do with that?
So they confer some mystical properties to the gel. The point is that clearly these indigenous community noticed that the gel matters, and they of course did not know about nitrogen fixation. They did not know why, but clearly that trait was improved and bred by the native people, probably because they simply noticed that the more gel their corn was producing, the better it was growing. And I think we really need to give them credit for recognizing the trait and for probably over many generations improving that trait in that corn.
And do we know how long they have been growing and improving this particular variety of corn?
That's a great question. To be honest, I don't know. There are other people in the group who are more interested in the more social and cultural mm-hmm. aspect of that corn. In particular, several people from our group stayed in Tierra Mije for several years and basically to study their culture and how that connects to their corn. And in particular, a book was developed, which is both in Spanish and in Mije, which is their native language, talking about biology and in particular the importance of their corn to explain them the more biological components of their that supports their corn.
It sounds like this model of going and actually spending extended times with the people who have cultivated this corn is happily a different model than has often happened when outsiders have come in and discovered indigenous knowledge and materials. What has it been like working with this community, and what steps have been taken to make sure that they benefit from this?
Sure. So first, personally, I did not go there to Sierra Mije, but Alan Bennett and Howard Shapiro have been there, and several students on the project have been there. I think one important aspect is, again, to give them credit for what they have done for us. First, they allowed us to do experiments in their fields, but also for their ancestors, for basically recognizing and breeding the trait. In the future, I think it would be important to continue to explore natural diversity, because that's probably something that has been underestimated. It's interesting that people have been looking for nitrogen fixation in corn for more than 100 years. There are actually papers from beginning of the 1900s talking about this topic, and for decades people look for that. But the approach of the scientific community has been most of the time to look for diversity on the microbial side, finding the right microbe if you want, whereas here, it was looking for diversity on the plant side, on the host, and that's maybe the future of in that area is looking for natural diversity of the plant also.
And briefly, Jean-Michel, so this corn takes 9 months to mature, is my understanding, which clearly is not very easily transferable to a Wisconsin climate. But just as the indigenous farmers in Oaxaca have worked with this corn to make it work best for them, are there ways that we can take something of this corn and introduce it to Wisconsin and our Wisconsin corn crops?
Absolutely, and that's what we have started to do, in fact, and we have started the introgression of the trait, introduction of the trait into what you would call normal corn, and we think that it basically works, that the trait is really controlled by plant genetics, and that we can breed that trait into normal corn, and that to apply that to Wisconsin, that's the absolutely necessary step.
Well, Jean-Michel, thank you so much for sharing this information.
Thank
it's
you.
Really interesting.
You're welcome.
Jean-Michel Annet is a professor in the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. We talked with him about the discovery he and his team have made about a type of corn in Mexico that makes its own fertilizer. Indigenous farmers there have been cultivating it for centuries.